Thank you for praying, Richard. We're looking at 10 wisdom and life skills at the conference here with the navigators at the Baptist Center in Lagos. And Richard, if you would read Proverbs 1, 1 through 3.
The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity.
Okay. To receive instruction in wise dealing, or it says wise behavior. Wisdom and life skills. Discretion, wise behavior. That's what we want to give to our children. Number one, concentrate on what is being said. Proverbs 7:24 says, "Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth." Okay. So, that is a Christian virtue for your children to pay attention when you talk. When given instruction or the correction, the child should pay attention. Now, for me, that meant looking me in the face and paying attention. Now, in some cultures, if a child looks an adult in the face, that's rebellious behavior. You have to decide what type of behavior communicates concentration. Concentration. And so that's what you will expect from your child. For a child to concentrate on instruction, it presupposes hush, come, and obey, doesn't it? If your child won't come when you call them, if they won't hush, if they won't obey, how are they going to concentrate on what is being said? They won't be able to. So we use three spanks. We considered not being unwilling to receive instruction as rebellion. Proverbs says, the child that refuses instruction is stupid. And that's true. How can they ever be smart? It is not a good wisdom and life skill to place personal feelings above respect. So I didn't allow my children to play the shy game with visitors or those in authority. Children can learn that what they cannot accomplish through overt actions, they can carry out with passive ones. By being or pretending to be shy, they can get away with disrespect to adults. They can ignore the adult, and when they are spoken to, they can just say nothing. So, I don't know how many times I'll be speaking at a church or a meeting, and a parent will come by with a child, and they'll say hello to Uncle John, say hello to Pastor John, say hello to Brother John, and the child buries their face in their mother's skirt, or hugs their father's leg. So what did the parent ask the child to do? To greet me.
Yeah.
What did the child do? Disobeyed. Not only that, the child dishonored the parent and the pastor by refusing to speak. That's not a little thing. So if that happened to me, if I had a small child and I said, say hello to Uncle Amika, and the child buried their hand in my leg, I would say, just a minute, Uncle Amika. And we would go into the restroom, or we would step outside the church, and that child would be instructed, when I ask you to greet one of my friends, you will say hello, and you will shake their hands. Repeat after me. Okay. That's three strokes for disrespecting Brother Amika. Now, why did you get those strokes? I didn't say no. Why did I disrespected you and I disrespected Pastor? That's right. All right, now what are you going to do? Okay, that's good. Okay, let's go try again. And Uncle Amika's going, that's all right. They don't have to come and say, they do have to. Shake his hand. And probably Uncle Amika's going to look at his hand because I'm so mean. But I don't allow my children to play the shy game. they don't become leaders in the church youth group by playing the shy game. If it's manipulative, it's going to damage them in their career and their marriage. If they are shy, courage is a Christian virtue. Didn't Moses keep telling Joshua over and over, be strong and courageous? Is Deborah courageous? 1 Peter 3:6. You are the daughter of Sarah. If you are not terrorized by any fear, Sarah was courageous. We raise courageous young sons and daughters. Okay? Number two, sitting still and entertaining themselves. Number two, sitting still and entertaining themselves. This is essential for school. It is essential for church. It is essential for social trips. It is essential for the dinner table. It is essential for the visits to the doctor. The child, when told to, needs to be able to sit still and wait for whatever is being waited for. Psalm 135, wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word I do hope. Wait for the Lord. And children need to wait. Was Saul able to wait? Did Saul wait?
No.
He didn't. Did it turn out good?
No.
Don't raise little Sauls. Teach them to wait. Did Sarah wait? She did. God told her she was going to have a baby. Didn't turn out good, did it? Don't raise that little Sarah. Sarah learned to wait. But that was early in her relationship with God. So don't teach your sons and daughters to wait. To wait what is being waited for. The child should be able to entertain themselves. If they're older, they can play in the room. It's not punishment. But mommy's having a Bible study. Just want you to play quietly in your room. You can read. You can play. You need to use the restroom or the toilet. Come on out. There's some juice on the table. Get that. But it'll just be an hour. Okay? It's not punishment. But mommy needs to do that. I had some friends who, they had this orange boxing tape, and they put it on the floor, right like this, and they would tell their child, now mommy's having Bible study here, this is your play area. You stay there and play quietly. And so the child did. Once your child is 3 years old, they should sit quietly in church. We never gave our children playthings in church. They sat with us in church. When we stood up, they stood up. When we sang, until they could sing, they stood respectfully. When they could sing, they sang. When we prayed, they prayed. Whatever your church ritual is, they should do it. Now, always take notes when I go to a conference or a church. When our children couldn't write, they had to draw a picture of the sermon. They had to listen carefully till they heard something that they understood and draw a picture of it. A lamb, a cross, a shepherd, something. So then when at the dinner table on Sunday, when we discussed the sermon, they got to share their picture. When they got older, I made a little form for them. They could write words that were from the sermon. Then they write the song we sang and what happened and what the pastor said that was important. Then when they got even older, they got a notebook and they could take notes in church just like they do in school. Oh, Pastor John, I don't know why my children go to the hell, go away to college, and they don't go to church. I don't know why they do that, Pastor John. I just raised like good children, and now they all go away to college, and they don't go to church. You know why they don't go to church. First thing, when the pastor was preaching, or when he was leading a Bible study, or at a conference, and he brought your child just wandered around. He wanted to
him sit still. And then in church when they were older, you didn't make them take notes like they have to do at school. And if there was a conflict between a social or sporting event and church, you let them go play on the football field or the field hockey event. You didn't. They, you know, sports is more important than church, right? They had to memorize things for school, but you didn't require them to memorize scripture. So they filled their mind with dates and science and equation rather than the Word of God. Psalm 119, 9-11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against God. We took that very seriously. We came up with 100 Bible verses that we're going to protect our children throughout their childhood and adult life. So they had to appreciate church. They had to sit still and they had to honor the pastor. They were to take notes. What if your child doesn't want to go to chemistry class? What do you tell them? Okay, you don't have to go. Is that what you say? No, you go anyway. What if your child doesn't like his chemistry teacher? That mean he doesn't have to learn chemistry? No. What if your child doesn't find chemistry exciting? Does that mean he can fail? Why is your standard for chemistry higher than church and the Bible? Why is it? What's the best evaluation time? Well, one is if you eat meals together, that's a good time to see if your children can sit still. When you go shopping, can your child sit in the back seat and keep their hands to themselves? If your child can't sit, keep their hands to themselves as a toddler and as an elementary school child, what makes you think they're not going to put their hands on girls in high school? Why should they? They've never learned to keep their hands to themselves. When you have a Bible study in your home, that's an excellent time. Who's being trained by whom? Has your child trained you that you can't have a Bible study in your home? Or have you trained your child that having a Bible study is part of mommy and daddy's ministry and the child is to be respectful and honoring during this time? Board of Director member Rob Stevens would tell his children, Uncle John is coming over to lead a Bible study. When he walks through the door, you have a choice. You walk up and greet him and shake his hand, or you get two spanks. And then he would tell his daughter. And when he sits down, you have a choice. You ask him if you want some water, some cookies or biscuits, or I take you up in the bedroom and you get a spank. So he warned them beforehand. And that's really good. And his children, everybody loved to go to his house for Bible study. Everybody thought his children were so wonderful. That was a gift he gave them. Number three, following instructions. Can your child be successful at school if they cannot follow an instruction? If they can? Matthew 11:1. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. So his disciples needed to learn how to do that. The child should be able to concentrate on what is being said at their level and follow unsupervised. You start with a training spank, and then it graduates to disobedience or rebellion. Mark 3:14, he appointed 12 that he might be with them and send them out to preach. Acts 4:13, now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated, untrained then, and they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. People should recognize your virtues, mom and dad, in your child's life. If you don't have any, get some. Reproduce it into them. They should say, oh yeah, yeah, that's one of the good kids. That's Hezekiah and Sarah's son. That's Hezekiah and Sarah's daughter. Yeah, it's all right. They're one of the good kids. That's a gift you will give them. Remember, I told you how to train them, how to set the table. Right? Do the same thing. The with him principle, how to clean your room. You go with the child up into their room, and then you say, look what I'm going to do. And you clean the room. They watch. Then you call the child to you. Say, okay, it's time to clean your room. Well, they're not going to be able to do that, are they? It's too complicated. Go up in your room, take everything off the floor and put it on your bed, then come back. Okay, Daddy. Okay, take everything off your bed and put it where it belongs. Okay, Daddy, go up to your room, look under your bed, look on your closet floor, look under any piece of furniture, take everything off the floor and put it on your bed. Okay, Daddy, take everything off your bed and put it where it belongs. Okay, Daddy, go up in your room and look on top of everything. Straighten it, make it neat. Okay, Daddy, go up in your room and pull your sheet up, tuck it in, put your pillow at the top of it. Come back and tell Daddy. Okay, Daddy, now the room's clean, isn't it? And then one time you'll say, you'll give them that instruction, and then you'll say, now put it off. Oh, it's already done. Now look at it. It's already done. Okay, straighten it. It's already done. Make the bed. It's already done. Then you praise them and reward them. See? That's from being with you, isn't it? That's from being with you. So that's what you do. You train them how to follow instructions. And it's the training, spank, and praise. A missionary, Susan Rice, she had a dry erasable marker, and she had a white enamel refrigerator, and every time the children did something right, she wrote it on the refrigerator and put their name. And the first thing Daddy got to do when he came home was see the list of honor. Well, isn't there a list of honor in the Bible? Doesn't David have a list of honor? So, we don't just concentrate on the things they do wrong, but we make sure they have praise for doing right. And you remember, I've told you many times the frustration I had about being exhorted to do things in the church and not knowing how to do it. And then Greg Fair showed me the bridge illustration. And I said, can I have that? And she said, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to train you how to use it. So I'm going to come by and get you every Wednesday night. Memorize these first two verses. And he would take me out, he would knock on the door, he would get on in the door, he would share Christ. My job was to pray. And on the way there, we would review the verses. As soon as I had all 12 verses memorized, he said, okay, this time I'm going to knock on the door, we're going to get inside, I'm going to get it started. Every time I refer to a verse, I'm going to have you quote it. So then he shared the bridge illustration, but I quoted the verses. And then he said, okay, now what you're going to do is knock on the door and get us in. After that, I'll start the conversation and you quote the verses. So we did that. And then he said, okay, what we're going to do is you're going to knock on the door, you're going to get us in, and you're going to share the preach illustration, and I'm going to pray for you. See, it rolls a reverse now, aren't they? And I did that. And then they hooked me up with another guy who had been through the same process, and we went out on our own. And that brought me down the wonderful road of sharing the bridge illustration and telling people about how they can be born again and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Have you ever seen me share that illustration? She has, because I showed it to her at breakfast. And you have, haven't you? Because I showed it to you at breakfast. I love sharing my testimony with the Word of God and the bridge illustration. Yeah. On tissue paper. Now, what it is the principle is the KISS principle. Keep it spiritually simple. I teach people how to witness. All they need is a pencil and a scrap of paper. And they can lead people to Christ. Doesn't have to be complicated. Well, it's the same with your children. You keep it simple for them. Keep the training simple. You do it with them, and then you watch them do it, and then you set them free. And pretty soon, your child is setting the table, doing the dishes, doing their wash, cleaning the toilets, cleaning the bathroom. Saturday morning, house day, vacuuming, sweeping, weeding in the garden. See, work is a Christian virtue. And what's mom doing? Smiling, thinking how wonderful it is to be married to a man who doesn't treat her like house help and whose children don't boss her around. Listen, guys, if it's not enough for you to just believe the Bible, okay? And it's not enough for you to see clearly that this will lead to your children's success, this is what I want to be enough for you. It's in the evening. Since you've come home, once that meal has been cooked and little Sarah has been helping mom, she hasn't done a thing. The dishes have all been washed and put up. The kitchen has been cleaned. If any other cleaning in the house needs to be done, it's been done. The living room is picked up. The bedrooms are picked up. Lunches have been made. Homework has been done. Clothes are set out. The children are in bed. All is at peace. And you look at her and go, quiet. Kids are in bed. And sure, her heart is just welling up with love and gratitude for you. And she embraces you and melts into your arm. Passionate night. Wouldn't that be nice? How about this? You come home. Your kids have been wild all day. She's sweaty and exhausted. She's trying to cook the meal and the children are fighting. You're trying to corral them and they're arguing with you. You and her spend the night trying to get them fed, bathed, and in bed. They won't stay in bed. Now they're finally in bed and y'all spend the rest of your night picking up after them and straightening. Now you sit on the couch and you look at her and think, want to get romantic? And she goes, because she has nothing left. Because those sullen, disobedient children have just sucked all of the energy out of her and nothing to replace it with. So guys, that itself should be your motivation. You want to have a nice loving on the weeknights? Make sure your wife has some energy for you. Okay? Both emotional and physical. Okay? And she will. And she will appreciate it. May God add His blessing to His holy word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.